for 2 weeks in a row at the story of David and Bathsheba. We tried to look at it through two different lenses, through what the psukim seemed to present, but at the same time understanding that Chazal, their job is to fill in different parts of the story and the different lens through which they viewed it. At the end of the day, what seemed to emerge, and that will be very important for this coming parak, for Parak Yubez, is that it seems that David acted improperly, but it may not have been a technical sin, right? That there were two caveats in terms of figuring out how it is that it wouldn't be problematic, because there were two issues. One issue was Bathsheba being a married woman, and the second one was killing Uriah. And both of them, there was a solution in terms of Bathsheba. So the Gemara tells us that the soldiers in David's army would write a get for their wives before going out, in case they didn't return home, that they should not leave their wives to be in Aguna. Whether that was retroactive or whether that was full was in Machlokas, but either way, Uriah did not go back home, and therefore she was not considered to be a married woman, even though had Uriah returned, he would have remarried her. And in terms of Uriah being killed, he acted in an insubordinate manner in talking to David HaMelech, when he spoke about Yoav being his master, and B was when he refused the commandment of the king in terms of his instructions. So all of that ended up with Uriah dying. David takes Bathsheba. So again, with those, it seems to be that David is clear. However, Pasuk Yud Beis adds a dimension to it. And again, Chazal were obviously aware of Parak Yud Beis as well. I'm sorry. So it's not that how did they miss this? It's that we have to try to figure out how the two things work together. Okay, so that is the intro that brings us to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 12. Vayishlach Hashem es Nasan el David. Hashem sends Nasan to David. Who is Nasan? Nasan is the Navi. He's the Navi. He is the job of the Navi is to relay the Dvar Hashem, to relay the words of Hashem, and sometimes to give difficult messages. Sometimes it's just to fill in issues when it comes to battle, when it comes to war, but sometimes it's to relay difficult messages to the king or whoever it might be. How long after the event of David and Bathsheba is this taking place? So again, the Mepharshim assumed that it was not immediate. It was a few months later. So what happens? Again, he sends Nasan el David. Vayavo elav, and he comes to him, vayomer lo, and he tells him, and he's going to present a mashal. But sometimes, the best way to give Musar is to allow the person to come to the realization on his or her own, as opposed to just being direct. So he gives the following mashal. Vayomer, and again, David doesn't know what's a mashal. He presents this case to David, and David is the king. King David, you have to adjudicate. What is the law? What is the halacha in this case? Vayomer lo, and he says to him, Shnei anoshim hayu b'irachas. There were two people living in one city. Echad ashir, ve'echad rosh. One was wealthy, and one was poor, one was destitute. Le'ashir, hayatzon v'bakar harbe me'od. So the wealthy person had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle. Vilarosh ein kol, and the person who was poor had nothing. Vilarosh ein kol, except kiim kivsa achas ktana asher kana. One little sheep, one little shepzala asher kana, right? And he bought vayichayeha. And it was much more like a pet. When you only have one, right? It's not that you're not planning on shechting this animal to make lamb chops anytime soon. You know, I guess Mary took care of her little lamb. It becomes like a pet, so it's a pet. They gave it to eat, it to drink from the table. and slept in the same in their room, right? Like the dog or the cat. Vatehi lo kevas, was almost like another child, very, very precious. Vayvo helach leish hashir vayachmol akachas mitzano umi bekaro lasos larech habalo vaykach es kivsas leish harash vayaser leish haboilov. And somebody comes to the rich man, right? There's somebody passing through town. He needs a place to stay. So he goes to the rich man, and that is where he is going to dine. So the rich man needs to shechta an animal and prepare meat as is appropriate for his guest. But he didn't want to take from his own, even though he had a lot. And instead he took the one sheep from the poor person. And he made it for the person who came to him. That is the end of the story. That's the end of the story that Nathan related to David, and wants to see what is David's response going to be. David says, "Pasuk Hey, Vayichar Af David Ba'ishm Od," and David is infuriated with this person. Vayomer al Nathan, and he says to Nathan, "Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, Kiven Maves." The person who did this, that wealthy man, deserves to be killed. Now, clearly, that is not the Torah's punishment. There is no punishment that for stealing that a person is killed. But David was trying to explain that certain crimes are so terrible that a job of a melech is to obliterate such behavior from the kingdom. We can't have it. Why would that be? Why is it so terrible? So Rashi explains, "Hagozas ani," when you steal from a person, "kiyu no tells nafsho." You're taking his life. You're taking all that he has. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Es nefesh ba'alav yikach," and then he says, "Ve'es hakivsa." And in terms of making right, there are two problems now. You want to punish the person who was rich, but that doesn't help the person who's poor. So you have to make him whole again. But instead of just paying back one time, Yishalem arbatayim, Ekev asher asah sadavar hazeh, v'alasher lo chamo. But he did something so terrible, he has to pay four times as much. Now, the mashal is pretty clear, right? David is the rich man. He had many wives, and Uriah just had one. She lived in his house together with his sons. And then the guest visited. Who is the guest? It was some sort of Yetzer Hara. This guest came to David, and David decided to take from Uriah as opposed to just keeping to his own home. Says Nathan to David in Pasuk Zayin, probably the most powerful words he could have said. Vayomer Nathan el David, Atah Ish. You are that guy. You are the person who did this. Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and so says Hashem, Anochi Mishachticho Lemelech al Yisrael. I anointed you to be the king over the Jewish people. V'anochi hitzalticha miyad Shaul. And I was the one who saved you. Shaul was trying to kill you the entire time. It was miracle after miracle after miracle that saved you. And all of that, I say, I protected you. V'etnolecha es beis adonecha. And I gave you his house. V'esneshe adonecha b'chekecha. And his wives. V'etnolecha es beis Yisrael b'yehuda. I gave you the entire kingdom of Israel. And if were not enough, I would have given you more and more. What does that mean? So the Farshim explained, if you would have wanted more, You should have just asked for more. I provided everything for you. I gave you the king's daughters. I protected you. I gave you the kingdom. I have done every single thing for you. If there was something else that you needed, the address to turn to when you were the king is to Hashem. And what did you do instead? Pasuk Tes. Madua bazisas devar Hashem. Why have you ashamed, scorned the word of Hashem? Lasos hara be'inai. To do what is bad in my eyes, es Uriah hachiti hikisa v'cherev. You killed Uriah. Now, did he actually kill Uriah? No. Right? He had Uriah killed. But he's blamed for the death of Uriah. You are responsible for the death of Uriah. Ve'es ishto l'kach l'chol isha. And his wife you took for yourself as a wife. And you killed him through the sword of Ammon. And now, lo sasur cherev v'vescho ad olam. Lo sasur cherev v'vescho ad olam. The sword will not be removed from your home. Ekev kibis hisani, because you have scorned me. Vatikachas ishas uriachiti lo sasurachah, because you took somebody else's wife. To be your wife. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was relating to David, right? That what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. And maybe, you know, in the eyes of man, you've gotten away with it. And you can explain technically why this is okay and why that is okay. But in my world, this is not conduct, which is becoming of a king. It is not conduct which is becoming of the Melech Yisrael, the one who I anointed, the one who was supposed to be living on a higher level. And that is probably what Chazal did with this Perek. Yes, Kol Omer David Chata. If you think that he was a sinner in the classic sense, Eino Elatoa. That's a mistake. Did he make a mistake? Yes. But that was on a level of David. That's a different understanding. That's exactly what he's trying to make over here. And we'll see in a moment what David's response is to it. What his response is. But first, Hashem continues the message through Uriah. Ko amar Hashem. So says Hashem. Hineni mekim alecha ra'a mi beisecha. There is going to be evil that comes against you from within your own home. V'lakachti es nashecha le'enecha. Your wives are going to be taken away from you in front of your eyes. V'nasati l'reyecha, and going to be given to somebody else. V'shachav emen imnashecha l'enei Hashem ha'shazos, and they will take your wives in the middle of the day. Again, openly. Ki ata asisa baseser, because you tried to do everything in secret, and you tried to cover it up. V'ani eses davarzeh neged kol Yisrael v'neged Hashemesh. But the punishment is not going to be in secret. It is going to be in public, because in the end, what was the real sin of David? The real sin was the Chilul Hashem. Was that this is unbecoming of somebody who represents Hashem, who represents Hashem's Hashem's Torah. So I'm going to bring upon you evil from within your home. What does that mean, evil from within your home? So the Mefarshim have two different explanations. Either refers to the rebellion, which came from within his home, which we don't know about yet, but we'll have to, when we get there, discuss Avshalom. His own son rebels against him. Or others explain that it refers to Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar was actually a descendant of Shlomo and Malka Sheva, and the queen of Sheba. One of his wives. But either way, there was bad that came onto the Jewish people from within the home of David. With all of this being told to him, what is David's response? It is not easy to hear this. As true as it may be, it's not easy to be told in no uncertain terms that what you did was wrong, and we all know about it, and now you're going to be punished. And it might have been, and it would have been, understandable for David to start explaining it away and for David to justify. But that's not what David does. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer David El Nasan Chatasi Lashem. I sinned. You're right. And those words, again, are almost as powerful as the Atah Ha'ish. They just get to the point. I'm not making excuses. You're right, I made a mistake, and I accept Hashem's judgment. Vayomer Nasan El David, Gam Hashem Hevir Chatascha Lo Samus. And again, it shows the power of tshuva. Immediately, Nasan says, your tshuva has been accepted. Your tshuva has been accepted. You will not die. You will not die. Right? The punishment is, there will be a punishment. But as we'll see, the punishment is going to be in this world and not in the next world. And again, that's not always something which is easy. But that's the terms of the ultimate punishment. David has been cleansed. Efes kiniyetz niatzta seve Hashem badavar hazeh, gam haben hayilod l'cha mos yomos. However, because there was this huge chilul Hashem that took place regarding this, the son that is going to come from this, from David and Bathsheba, right? This, the one that we commented on in the last parak, that she became pregnant right away. That son is going to die. Heben hayilod l'cha mos yomos. And at that point, Nasan leaves. And it could be it was on a certain level almost a chesed of Nasan to leave at that point, right? There was a lot for David to digest, and it could have been possible David's going to start backtracking and try to explain himself away. But Nasan told David everything that needed to be said. He was angry about it, didn't want to hear another word, and he just leaves. That's it. Vayelech Nasan al David. Nasan leaves, and immediately, Vayigof Hashem es hayeled asher yolda eshes Uriah leDavid vayde anash. And immediately the baby becomes sick. Which baby? The Navi makes it very clear why there's a punishment here, right? Not the baby of Bathsheba, but the baby of Eshes Uriah, right? The wife of Uriah. Vaye Anash, and he became very, very, very gravely ill. What did David do? Vayivakesh David es ha'elokim ba'ar ha'na'ar. And David started to daven that the baby should be saved. Vayotzam David tzom, and he fasted. Uvav v'lon v'shachar arzla, and he was sleeping or lying down on the ground. Laying down on the ground. He refused to accept the fate of it. Is that because he refused saying, Hashem, you can't do this? No, he understood that there is a power of tefillah. And that even though Hashem said, this is what he deserves, that's what I deserve right now. That Hashem didn't say, you know, it was not one of those, v'eschanan el Hashem, that Moshe is davening, and Hashem says, I'll toast of daver, I don't want to hear it anymore. David says, when something terrible happens, even if we know that it comes from Hashem, we are entitled and expected to daven. That's the only place that are potentially any savior, any salvation is going to come from. Vayakum ziknei bayit beso alav, and the elders in the house of David came to him. Lakimo menaretz, to get, he's lying on the ground, the king, davening. Velo ava, velo varoi tom lachem, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't get up, he was just on the ground fasting and crying. He was in the Mepharshim explain, in the base, in the Mishkan, right in front of the Heichal. He's davening to Hashem. Vayhi bayom hashevi'i, it was on the seventh day from the birth of the baby. Vayamas hayelad, and the baby dies. Vayiru avdei David lahagid lo kimeis hayelad, and they were scared to tell David what happened. Kiyamru, because they said, Hinebios hayelad chai di barne lo velo sham kaleinu. We tried to appease him while the baby was alive. We couldn't get him to eat, we couldn't get him to drink, we couldn't get him to lay down, we couldn't get him to change, we couldn't get him to bathe, we couldn't get him to do anything. How much harder is it going to be for him now? Ve'ech nomar elav me'isa yelad va'asara, who knows what terrible, something terrible is going to happen if we give him this terrible news. Vayar David ki avadov mislach Hashem, and David saw that there was whispering going on, and he had a hunch that something was up. Vayoven David ki meisayel, and he understood that the baby had died. Vayomer David el avadov, so he said to his servants, Hameisayelad, did the baby die? Vayomru meis. I said, yeah. Look at David's reaction. Vayakam David Me'aretz, David gets up from the ground, Vayirchatz, Vayosech, Vayechalev Simosav, and he goes, and he showers, and he anoints himself, he changes his clothes, Vayavo Beis Hashem, Vayishtachu, then he goes back, and he bows to front of Hashem, Vayavo El Beiso, and he comes back home, Vayishal, Vayosim Lo Lechem, Vayochal, and he asks for food, and he ate. And everybody's very surprised. The whole time that the baby was sick, he was fasting, and he was doubting, and he wouldn't bathe, and he wouldn't change. And now, that terrible thing has happened, and he's acting in a better way? So they asked him, I don't understand. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomru avadav ilav. So a servant said to him, Ma davar hazeh asher asisa? What are you doing? Bavur hayalad chai, when the baby was alive. Samta vatefk, you cried and you fasted. V'chasher meisa yelav, then he dies. Kamta v'toch alechem, now you're sitting down to eat. So he says, yeah. Vayomer. V'od hayelav chai, when the baby was alive, tzamti v'avke, I fasted and I cried. Ki amarti, mi yodea v'chanani Hashem v'chai hayelav, because maybe I'll be able to daven, and maybe the baby will survive. V'ato meis, but now the baby has died. Lama zanitzam, so what am I fasting for? Is my fasting going to bring him back? I will one day join him. But he's not coming back to me. I mean, David accepted the judgment, as difficult as it was. But he understood that that everything comes from Hashem, and we don't always understand it. He didn't like it. But at the same time, the role of being distraught, he understood, was for when there was that when I could channel that somewhere productive. So as long as those feelings of, I can't believe this is going to happen, I could channel that into a tefillah, which makes sense. Because maybe Hashem will change his judgment, maybe he'll change his mind. So that's all productive. But there's nothing productive. There's nothing productive about doing that after the baby is lost. Yes, there are halachos of avilus, which, interesting, some of them he seems to be violating. He seems to be violating, he can't shower when the person is dead. So, the first explain on that is that one of two answers. Either the baby was only 7 days old, so pi halacha, there isn't a normal avilus because the baby wasn't alive for a minimum of 30 days. The alternative is that a king is different. Is that a king is different? A king has to be presentable. In the same way that Melech Vakhalo Yerchetzu Espenayim, there are certain kulas, even on Yom Kippur, for a king to anoint himself and to wash himself, because again, the king has to be presentable, so too here. Then what does he do? Vayinachim David es Basheva Ishto. Then he tries to console Basheva. Now it refers to him as his wife. Now we understood that we have to move forward. It's no longer Ashes Uriah. And what Bathsheba was saying to him was, I'm not having any more children with you, because there's something doomed about our relationship. And that was the Vayinachim David, Es Bathsheba Ishto, that he was able to appease her and explain to her that yes, there was something which was wrong. But he said that the Navi already told me that, again, that it's been taken care of. Hashem has forgiven me for that. That's not a reason that we're not allowed to move forward. And Vayavo Elo Vayishkav Yama Vatele Bein, and she had a child, Vatikras Shemo Shlomo. And that second child was Shlomo Vahashem Ahevo. And Shlomo had a special place in the eyes of Hashem. Vayishlach biyad nasan ha-navi vayikra shemo Yedidya bavur Hashem. He sent word to Nasan the Navi and called his name Yedidya, which again, the Barbanel explains, is that once he understood, however David understood, that this child was special to Hashem, a Yedid, a special one to Hashem, so he added a second name of Yedidya, reflecting that special relationship. Now the last few psukim just changed gears for a moment. Vayilachem Yoav b'Rabbas b'nei Amon. Yoav was fighting against Rabbah, the children of Ammon. Vayakodes Yir HaMeluchon. He took over the capital city, the royal city. Vayishlach Yoav malachim al David, and he sent messengers to David. Yomer nechamti b'Rabbah. I was able to fight against Rabbah. Gam nechadti Yir HaMayim. And I took the capital city, which was important because that was the source of all of their water. If they don't have water, then any of the surrounding cities are now not going to have any power because they're thirsty. They cut off the water supply. Why didn't he just knock them out? He wanted to give David the chance to do it himself. Right? The king should have that glory. And now with Sof as Yesaram, so gather some soldiers. You come and conquer it. Penokot ani yeserim, they crush me. I don't want my name to be associated with the victory. It should be the name of the king. It should be associated with the victory over Bnei Amon. They went towards Rabbah. And they fought against it and captured it. Vayikach es ateres malkom me'al rosha. And they even took the crown off of the head of the king. Umishkala kikar zahav v'evin yikara. It weighed, it was very heavy. I don't know exactly what, a talent of gold. So they say that a talent is about 112 pounds. It's a very heavy crown. You gotta work on your neck muscles to hold such a thing. And David actually had trouble. It was on the head of David. And the Radak, another Mefarshim, explained that he couldn't actually hold it on his head. They built some sort of system where they attached it to the throne so that when he would sit, it would be on his head, but it was actually supported by the throne because it was too big. It was too heavy. How could somebody hold that over on their head? I don't know how the king of Ammon did it, but I guess that was more important to him. And there was a precious stone. They took a lot of the booty from the city. And then whoever was the Beverly Duck, he punished them with giving them a variety of punishments. Some say that these were instruments of torture. Some say that it was, and again, this I thought it was the push-up shot, was that these were just menial jobs, meaning the woodcutters and the one working with the iron. So he had them doing the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. That's what happens when you're captured and when you're enslaved, is you have to do the jobs that nobody else is interested in doing. Why was he so cruel to them? But either way, the Mefarshim explained, because it was trying to send a warning to everybody else that the Bnei Yisrael are here, they're here to conquer the land. And we'll have to do this to any Bnei Amon. And then they returned and they settled in Yerushalayim. So again, the key to the perek over here really is the tshuva of David, David's acceptance of what he did wrong, his responsibility that he took for it, and then him being able to figure out how it is to that he's going to not be held back, but he's going to use it to be able to move forward.